It is the custom to pause a few moments before we resume our studies. You may use the time, if needed, for a rebound. Shall we pray? And now, Father, as we continue our pursuit of truth, it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit will illuminate the things that we're about to study. Make it real for us, long-term memory, application. We lift our prayer to these ends in Christ's name. Amen. And I was talking to Tyler Ristie at halftime. We've been trying to protect our military guys by low-keying everything that we can because of bad guys out there that want to know where they are, we assumed. And Tyler tells us there's no place to hide. You can get that. They know where we are and what we're doing. Anyhow, Tyler, we're glad to have you with us. We're glad about what you do for us in your profession. And it's always an honor to have military guys visit our church, and we're happy to have you here today. Our study, of course, is a similar kind of contest. It's all mental. It all has to do with the way we think, how we adjust ourselves to the exigencies we face, and do we use human viewpoint or divine viewpoint? It's a battle that goes on all day long, every day, and it's non-relenting. And since it's unrelenting, that means that we have to be unrelenting in our continuous process of growing in grace and acquiring more ordinance. What we're studying now has to do with things that are associated with what could be the future in our lifetime, but probably not. There are those who think that the dilemma we face in this client nation with its horrible leadership means that we're on the brink of the rapture. I'm trying to use a word that will not be offensive to the ladies. But we really are being mollycoddled by comparison to some of the people who've been in power in client nations of the past, and I think specifically of Rome. There were not many good guys who were emperors. Almost every one of them, Augustus is considered to be a good guy if you compare him to the others. None of them could win a contest for integrity, but Augustus is okay. But Nero and Caligula and all of these guys, they were horrible people. But there was a system that was set up in Rome, and it was Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, because they enforced everything. You were good to go with whatever you wanted to do, but don't buck our system. We'll come down to you like dew on Dixie. So that way they maintained a great deal of decorum throughout the empire. But there have been some bad leaders in the past over client nations. We've got bad ones, but that's nothing new. We've had bad ones for most of the 20th century. And now we're in the 21st, and we hadn't improved on anything. So you can tell there's a loss of thought, because you can tell by who you would choose to be your leader. And so what we're seeing now is the downswing of a client nation, loss of thought. The culture is being changed. The culture is being altered. Things that are really supported and promoted today are on the backside of reality of 50 years ago. And I'm old enough to be able to tell the difference. The millennials can't tell the difference. They think, well, it's always been this way. And especially since they don't study history in school, someone was interviewed on TV the other day and wanted to know when Columbus discovered America, and they said, oh, it must have been way back in 1960. I mean, how can a person be as lost as that? But yet there was a college student. So it shows you where they're going there. So we need to be happy as punch that we live where we do. And we're the ones that fail if something comes unwound for client nation America. I'm just happy. I'm getting almost stage fright here today. Have to import people, but I'm almost stage fright here today because all these people in here makes me nervous. Never know when somebody get up with a gun killing everybody because whatever. So But we've got military people here. So they will dash over and save the day. But we have to understand that we are living in a time of prosperity where we can gather here together and we can study the Word of God uninhibited. And we can grow in grace and gain that mental artillery necessary for us to be good soldiers for Christ in the combat. And so let's get back to that. This is important because these people down in Thessalonica are confused. There are many areas of confusion that can emerge in Bible studies. If you don't get it nailed down and someone comes in with another idea, you'll have a process of saying, well, okay. I was talking with a member of the congregation at halftime who had listened to one of the colonel's tapes. And because of the way the colonel phrased something, and by the way, you stand up here on this little place and you do close to 200 Bible classes a year like me, and he did twice that many, if not more, when he was teaching every night. Every now and then you're going to say something without any intent of confusing anyone. But just one word can be misinterpreted by someone in a congregation and they think they're off on some way to figure out how he's wrong and he doesn't know what he's talking about. When all he's trying to do is use a synonym rather than the same word over and over and over. And the synonym became a question in the minds of an individual, rightly so, because the way it was phrased, if taken literally, was heresy. Okay? But it was innocently done. It was a synonym that was used out of place. So you see the danger that pastors are in because they get up and run their mouth all the time. They're going to say something on occasion that doesn't sound quite right, and all of a sudden a false doctrine emerges when it's really not a false doctrine at all. And so the question arises, how do you prevent that? Keep coming back. Keep listening. And all of this irons itself out in the long run. But it's okay because you're being discriminatory about what you hear. That's good. And if you got any questions, you ask the guy up front, what did you mean by that? Are you a doofus or what? And then I happily listen to questions. And oftentimes you're so much smarter than I am, I say, well, I don't know. I'll have to go study that for a while and come back and tell you later. But I don't know. So you can ask questions that I don't know about, but which is not what we need to be doing right now. I need to be telling you what I know about right now. So let's get started back with this. We noted apokalupto as we were winding down the first session might be revealed. There's going to be a place in time where this old boy is going to be revealed. I'll give you the expanded translation of verse 6 as we're about to wrap it up. And now you know what thing, that's neuter here, see, so there's a thing involved. We don't see who has the thing until verse 7. And now you know what thing, that's the power of the Holy Spirit, what thing restrains under the rules of engagement of the angelic conflict. We'll get to that in a minute. That restrains him, that's lowercase h, that's referencing Lucifer and later the beast dictator in the tribulation, but he is going to be vetted in the church age, you see. So these candidates for beast dictator will function in the church age, and there are those who are functioning now that are being vetted by Lucifer. Don't forget that part. There are many candidates. So now, notice the word now. And now you know what thing restrains him now, church age, so that he will be revealed in his dispensation. That would be the tribulation yet future. So we have apokalupto might be revealed. Okay. The aorist tense is culminative, thus making reference to the end of the church age. One of the results will be the removal of the Holy Spirit's restraint against Lucifer's strategies related to the tribulation. All of his strategies, therefore, are trying to get things under control to his advantage before the rapture hits. He needs to get him a beast dictator vetted. We're going to note headhunters maybe this morning. And therefore, all of this includes restraint of the formation of the revived Roman Empire over which Lucifer will place the beast dictator as its ruler. Okay, we're breaking into a new document now. This is number 43. When the public revelation of the beast dictator's identity occurs, it is indicated in the following prepositional phrase, ento heautu kairo, and that means in his time. All the major English versions of the Bible translate the noun kairos with time. Therefore, we need to know what time it is. Always know what time it is. There are two Greek words that refer to periods of time. Number one is kairos, our context, and the other is chronos. And both of them can be used for periods of time. Kairos refers to time as an epoch or an era, a chronological order or system, a period of time characterized by distinctive development within that period. The word is used to depict the organization of historical events into a dispensational category. So therefore, kairos in our context refers to a dispensation that has to be identified by context. Chronos refers to time as a succession of events. It is used to present the chronology of historical occurrences, usually within a dispensation. So where kairos can refer to a dispensation, you have chronos refers to the chronology or the sequence of events that occur over a period of time. In our context, the subject is the beast dictator, whose public identification cannot occur until after the rapture has occurred. The thing that you need to keep in mind is the rapture may occur at any moment. Lucifer knows this. He can read Scripture too. He has a great number of ways to figure out what God is up to and what we're up to. He has scouts. He is isolated as an individual angel, fallen, cherub rank. He is isolated as one person, as you are. In other words, you are where you are. You cannot be anywhere else. And so he has one third of the angelic creation on his side in his army. And therefore, he delegates them out to do certain duties. And they report back to him. He's the honcho. And so we have this beast dictator situation. If the rapture is imminent, he's got to be vetting candidates now for who he's going to indwell at the midpoint of the tribulation. And so he's got scouts out looking for these guys. Don't get to Headhunters till page 24. That's not happening today. So that'll be on Wednesday. But nevertheless, we've got this situation on the beast dictator. His public identification cannot occur until after the rapture has occurred. Now, the rapture terminates the dispensation of the church. This is followed closely by the dispensation of the tribulation. The beast dictator cannot be revealed until the rapture has occurred and the tribulation has begun. Now, I think I can back up in all of these slides here. Boom, boom, boom. I go, come on, let's go. Come on, babe. All right, okay, right there. Okay. Here's the church here. Notice it says the rapture. Little dotted line going up. That's us, dots. And then you have the tribulation, but that doesn't begin immediately. It has to be a contract signed between the beast dictator and the false prophet down in Jerusalem. So there's a period of time between the rapture and the official beginning of the tribulation. It could be a week or two, could be a month or two, maybe 6 weeks, who knows. But a brief period of time for things to get organized. And so that's the tribulation. And there's a three and one half year mark where the beast dictator is Satan indwelt. And he's going to kick things into high gear. And then at the end of that period of time, we have the second advent of Christ. Then there's a period of time here for the baptisms of fire. And then once that's over, then he kicks off the millennial kingdom. And that's when things sort of calm down for a while, 1,000 years. Then we have an upheaval and then new heavens, new earth. Things will be great then. So note, things will be copacetic in a few 1,000 years. In the meantime, you are to gear up with your panoply and be ready to fight. Flip my pages too many times. So I've noted chronos and kairos. The rapture terminates the dispensation of the church. This is followed closely by the dispensation of the tribulation. Note, the beast dictator cannot be revealed until the rapture has occurred and the tribulation has begun. And he will not be revealed for a period of time there as a Satan-indwelt emissary. That'll occur at the halfway mark. Now, with these things in view, we're able to develop an expanded translation of verse 6. It reads this way. We noted it a few moments ago. And now you know what thing the power of the Holy Spirit restrains under rules of engagement. Note restraint in a definition here from Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary. To prevent from doing, to limit, restrict, or keep under control. To limit the force, effect, development, or full exercise of, suggests holding back by force from acting or going to extremes. So you see the need to translate this word as restraint. Lucifer is active. He has a strategy. He has tactics. He has demons that are ready to indwell unbelievers and utilize them to influence others. But there is a restraint. Now, the important part for you to understand is, how does the Holy Spirit restrain during the church age? The Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He can be everywhere. So he can do what he wants to do. But there are rules of engagement for both sides in this contest. The rules of engagement for the Holy Spirit is that he has to function through the souls of those who believe in Christ and teach them the strategy and the tactics of the Father. That would be Bible doctrine. So everybody is in the basic doctrine mode at the beginning. They've got to learn basic problem-solving devices. That would be confession alone to God alone to clear the decks for the spirituality concept of the Holy Spirit's ministry, which means the filling ministry and the teaching ministry. And so you have to avail yourself to the basic training that occurs right after salvation. What's basic training? Rebound to clear the decks for sins and the filling of the Holy Spirit. When exigencies occur, you have the problem-solving device of the faith rest technique. You use a promise to clear your thinking so you can concentrate on a doctrinal rationale, whatever that happens to be that's in your inventory. In other words, you call upon divine power to enable you to endure a situation that is in some way unsettling or threatening to you. And then you rest on that. So that's what faith rest means. Faith in a doctrinal concept that gives you clarity of thought, and then rest on that with a doctrinal conclusion. In other words, God's got this. And so you turn it over to him and you quit worrying about it. Do you have confidence in the Word of God? That God is in his heaven and he will take care of details. A new believer may not have that confidence yet. And so after maybe an hour, if the problem is not solved, he thinks God's not in his heaven and he doesn't care anything about me. And so they whine and say, God doesn't care about me. And then maybe somebody, maybe go to Bible class and say, God cares about you. And you're comforted. Oh, thank God. I thought he had abandoned me for sure. No, he never abandons you. And so you start the whole process over again. This is basic problem-solving devices. I got a problem. This thing out here is bothering me. It threatens me, makes me uncomfortable. I don't have a safe space. And all of the things that bother me. And then you have a problem-solving device, faith rest technique. And you claim some issue that you know about. Is it the integrity of God? That'd be a good place to go. All right. And then once you nail that down, then your doctrinal conclusion is God is taking care of me. I'm turning it over to him. I'm not going to deviate anymore. I'm not going to be someone who just is on again and off again. No, not me. So you make it a whole day. See, that's progress. So that's what we got here. And so when it says here about in verse 6, and now you know what thing restrains. I'm telling you what restrains. It not only is the Holy Spirit, But more importantly, it's what the Holy Spirit can do with what you know. Take the heathen. Is the Holy Spirit going to use them to fight the invisible war? Well, no. How about a new believer who doesn't know squat? He's going to do the best he can, but the inventory is low. So you're just starting out. You don't know much. But you got to keep coming back. And when you come back, you can't expect the bands to play all day long. You can't expect people to jump up and down, run up and down these aisles here, jabbering about something. You got to sit down. You've got to shut up. And you got to fake it till you make it. That takes about 5 years. Weldon prayed for sutured lips this morning. Did you hear that? Sutured lips. When you get to be a believer for 5 years, pretend this. Sutures. Right in here. Suture. Don't say nothing. Shut up. You don't have the ability to analyze. You're not in the game of trying to get someone to tell you something that you already know and you want them to agree with it. Just come in and get bored. See, it's a game. Can you stay awake for an hour? How about a contest? Who of you can stay awake for an hour? Bored sick. What if somebody was in here holding a gun to you, one of these crazy guys, like in Colorado? This guy said, "You're selling baby parts here. I'm going to kill people." What sense did that make? I mean, I already killed the baby. That's clear. But he decided to kill more people because they killed the baby. I'm not saying it's okay. You understand what I'm saying here? If they kill the baby, it's not right for you to kill the people that kill the baby. Wow, it's a tough group this morning. So, anyhow, you got those kind of people out there running around loose. Okay, we'll get through this. Since the divine decree contains the precise timing of the rapture, but keeps the date of its occurrence a mystery, then it may be assumed that the beast dictator could be alive now. Okay? You got to assume that. Lucifer does. He assumes that. Yet it is impossible for anyone to predict, calculate, or expect his physical presence to be made known at any point in the church age. Now, we all volunteer this. There are candidates out there. Most of them are politicians. But we are comforted to know they're all in Washington. We're half a continent away. For those of you here, because some of you are closer to the bad guys. And Tyler here tries to fight the bad guys, but then the bad guys are just down the street. What, 50 miles maybe? Let's go visit the bad guys. 50 miles. Ooh. Although, personally, I think he and his buddies ought to drop in someday. Go in and say, "We have come to establish order." But then that would be wrong. See, you have to fight this battle in the invisible war. See, that's the problem, is nobody's fighting the invisible war battle. We've lost too many soldiers for Jesus in weird ways, but nevertheless, we've lost them. Now, I'm not saying they're not saved. I'm saying they're doofy. And that's embarrassing. What if you were to go out for football? I did that one time. Jim Colley wound up on top of me. He was 185 pounds and I was 85 pounds. And that's the first day I realized that all men are not created equal. So I figured maybe I was in the wrong place. And nevertheless, you can go out for football. And you cannot, you say, I've seen this on TV. I don't need to go to practice. I'm good to go. And then you show up and tell the coach, "I'm ready to play." He said, "Well, you haven't been to practice." "Oh, but I've watched TV. I've seen these teams play. Man, I know exactly what to do." He said, "So in order to teach him a lesson," he says, "well, you've suddenly on the starting lineup. You're middle linebacker. That's what you're going to play today. Now run out there and stand where I showed you." And then they run a play or two, and then they figure after maybe a play or two, "Hey, Fred, the middle linebacker has no clue." So we're going to run right through there. And then like Mr. Derrick Henry, just, everybody just runs right through. That's what believers are doing. They're saved. They're going to go to heaven when they die. But they can't fight the battle. Always out of fellowship. Always flustered. Always wondering, why me? Yet it is impossible for anyone to predict, to calculate, or expect his physical presence to show up publicly. It's not going to be on Fox News. At the same time, everyone must be confident that Lucifer is actively prosecuting the invisible war at all times during the church age. There is no day off. We had Thanksgiving. Everybody goes and has food and lies around. You can't sleep, I've noticed. You eat so much food on Thanksgiving Day, you can't sleep at night. Because you have to stay awake for about 10 or 12 hours to digest. There's a digesting process. But then that's our day off. That's when we take a day off. Hard to get in trouble lying in bed digesting. At the same time, everyone may be confident that Lucifer is actively prosecuting the invisible war at all times. Consequently, there are rules of engagement by which Lucifer and the fallen angels or demons are restrained in the church age. There are rules of engagement. Primarily, no believer can be indwelt by a demon, but through ignorance of and failure to inculcate and apply biblical principles, he may be demon influenced by one of them. Demon influence is everywhere. Media has it nailed down. Demons are everywhere in media. Whether it's movies, whether it's music, whether it's a television, whether it's some type of a play they have downtown. Everywhere you go, radio is really bad at it with the music they play. You say, well, I like that music. Well, that's okay if you like that music. I'm just saying there's bad music out there. You'd have to agree with that. There's some bad music out there where the lyrics of the songs are things that would have you ridden out of town on a rail down in Lower Alabama, even today. You don't listen to those. I gather no one here has heard a rap song. Oh, I've got a testimony down here. Yeah. Well, you know, there are adjectives. The dictionaries are full of adjectives. There are many. Mostly multisyllabic, though. That's a problem for many. The believer's defense against demon influence is spiritual growth, which enables him to defend his soul against the tactics of the devil. And that takes you to Ephesians 6:11, which we will note in a little bit of detail, not extensive. Lucifer nor his demons have the power to overrule the integrity of God. They can't overrule that. You've got integrity in your soul. You're isolated from their influence. What's integrity of God? Anything he thinks. Jesus said, I've told you the truth. And it's truth that'll set you free. Free from what? The antagonist in the angelic conflict. You're free from that. You know the truth. What's the truth? The thinking of God. If the thinking of God has integrity, then the truth of God, therefore, is impervious to any argument, any attack. If you know the truth, then you're free. Now, you can be in a gulag. I read a book one time. I got it in my library. I have no idea where it is. But it's a guy that was put in a Russian gulag many moons ago. And he was there for years. But he was a believer. And he said, I learned that I could be in a prison and at the same time be free. And the thing that gave him the freedom while incarcerated was the fact he had the Word of God in his soul. And with that, he could orient and adjust to where he was at that time. He was imprisoned. But he was able to have a copacetic mental attitude while there. And he was there for a long time. And when he finally was made free, he wrote a book about it. You are imprisoned in the devil's world. This whole deal is a prison. This is the devil's world. It's serious when it says that. And there are people out to get you. And who they are people you can't see. And then they co-opt people you can see. And they are slick-tongued rascals. And they'll say things to you that will cause you to buy into their idea if you don't have ordinance in the soul that identifies the lie. And that's where so many people are today, and many of them are Christians. Lucifer nor his demons have the power to overrule the integrity of God. Spiritual growth is the process of acquiring the principles of divine integrity. Divine integrity cannot be trumped by the dark side. And by that, you know that you are safe inside the bubble. That's the point. No matter what happens, they put you in prison. POW. I've told you about the POWs in Vietnam, how they were brutalized. See, in Korea, they did the slick-tongued rascal thing. So that guys were propagandized, and then these guys who didn't have an inventory, therefore bought the lie. That's propaganda. When you're brainwashed, you brainwash yourself. Nobody's brainwashed because they're propagandized. They're brainwashed because you buy the lie. And if you've got a defense department in your soul, you know what they're doing, and you reject that. And you do not in any way associate yourself with that, and you stand fast with who you are. That's integrity. The greater the inventory, the greater the believer's ability to withstand Lucifer's tactics. So, that's an important point. Now, Paul in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, gives a synopsis of how this power enables the believer to defend his soul. Oh, my goodness, here we are. Well, this won't take long, maybe another 30 to 45 minutes. What am I going to do? Woe is me. What do you say we do this? What do you say I just do a read-through? This is an expanded translation, and we'll do some exposition on Wednesday. Okay. Ephesians, nobody threw anything, so I'm going forward. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. Wear for yourselves the full armor of God that you might be able to hold your ground against the tactics of the devil. Notice holding your ground. You don't retreat. Stand fast. Verse 12. Because your combat is not against blood and flesh, but against demon generals, commissioned officers, ambassadors of darkness, and the spirit forces of evil in the first and second heavens. Because of this angelic conflict, pick up and put on the full armor of God in order that you might have the ability to resist in the evil day, even after having achieved everything, to oppose the forces of the dark side. Stand fast, therefore, after having buckled around your waist the belt of doctrine in the soul, also, having put on the body armor of righteousness, which is the inner virtue of biblical integrity. Also, put combat boots on your feet with the equipment of the gospel, which is the doctrine of reconciliation. In addition to these, take up and put on the shield of faith, with which shield you will have the ability to destroy all flaming missiles from the evil one. Also receive the helmet of salvation, also the sword from the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. On every occasion, by means of every prayer and petition, be praying in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Also, with reference to this prayer, be on alert with all persistent determination and petition on behalf of all the saints. We'll take up at Ephesians 6:11. On Wednesday evening. Now, Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity of studying these things regarding future events, but which are percolating at this time. Therefore, we need every element of this panoply in our souls, only accomplished, only provided by positive volition to your word. And with this panoply, we can defend everything tossed our way from the dark side, become good soldiers for Christ, therefore have historical impact personally and in our own generation. Motivate and encourage us by this prospect as we lift our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai arene, plethuntae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu tu kuriu himon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.